Let us now open up God's word, his lamp to guide our feet, his light that shines in our dark surrounding. And we read two passages from scripture. We start in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 59. And we begin reading at verse 1 and we read through to verse 9 of chapter 60. So we read this passage in connection with Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul teaches these Ephesians that now that they are believers, they are lights. They are light in the Lord. And we see this theme also in the Old Testament with Israel. And we see that in chapter 59 and also in chapter 60. But we first of all read about the darkness of Israel's sins in chapter 59, and we'll move then to how they were redeemed by the righteousness of Christ, the light, and then they are also called to be God's lights in chapter 60. So let's begin reading with Isaiah 59, and we begin at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions have multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are those who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their roosts? Surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with you, to the name of the Lord your God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. So far from the reading of our passage from the Old Testament, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 1, and we read to verse 21. And our particular focus this morning is on the verses 7 through to 14. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And here begins our text for this morning. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So far from the reading of God's word, and also so far from the reading of our text. Following the proclamation of God's word, let us praise him with singing together from Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is continuing his exhortation to the Ephesians to continue to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called them, to be his children in the world, his children. In previous sermons, we've begun in chapter 5 with seeing how the Ephesian believers are called to walk as imitators of God, as children who are loved by him. We also saw that they were called to walk as wise and not as fools. We saw that in verses 15 through to 21. And now Paul is calling, and thus God also by his word is calling us to walk as children of light. And we see that as our theme for this morning, walk as children of light. And under this theme we'll see that believers are light. Believers are light. And secondly, to shine as lights. Now our text begins in verse 7. Therefore do not be partakers with them. And that links very closely with verses 1 through 6 and also verses 8 through to 14. Paul had previously said in verses 1 to 6 that sexual immorality, uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking and crude joking, that those are things that are not even to be named among God's people, and that there is no place for them in the Christian life. And in verse 7, they are to not partake of those things. And in verses 8 through 14, that these things mentioned in these first verses, that they are the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, darkness in the Bible, although has a literal meaning, where there is no light, it also has a spiritual meaning, a meaning of rebellion and disobedience against God. And we read that, for example, in Psalm 107, verse 10 and 11. We read there that some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, for they had rebelled against the words of God, they had spurned the counsel of the Most High. So there we see one verse in Scripture that reveals to us that link between the spiritual darkness and rebellion and disobedience against God. Now, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created in true righteousness and holiness. And yet when Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled against God, what they were in fact doing was exactly what Psalm 107 says there. They spurned the counsel of the Most High. They rebelled against the words of God. When once they were good and righteous and they walked in the truth, they were created to walk in the truth, they had the power, the intellect to walk in the truth, to walk according with God's word, and yet they rebelled against God, and consequently them and their children became capable of every form of rebellion and disobedience against God. Their nature became darkened. In fact, we see that immediately after chapter 3, don't we, in chapter 4. Where Cain kills his brother Abel. The corruption in the world became so bad that God sent a global flood to start again with Noah and his family. And since the time of Adam, everyone does, as Paul says in Romans 1 verse 21, everyone does not honor God or give him thanks, but are futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts are darkened. And this disobedience, beloved, and this rebellion against God, this spiritual darkness, was also something that Israel had to struggle with, even after their deliverance from Egypt. Throughout Israel's history, the nations around them, they would oppress Israel under torment and, and gloom, a picture of darkness and sin and misery in the world, and which they needed to be saved from. And that is what Isaiah is speaking about in chapter 59. He's speaking about the sin and rebellion and disobedience of Israel, that spiritual darkness. And we read in verse 15 that what displeases the Lord, in Isaiah 59 verse 15, what displeases the Lord was not in the first place the Babylonians or the Assyrians. Although they did many things that displeased the Lord, what primarily in the first place displeased the Lord in that passage there was not Israel's physical enemies, but Israel's inability to do justice and righteousness. It was their spiritual darkness and their sins and their disobedience against the Lord that displeased him. And in chapter 59, we read there a list of Israel's grievances and their sins against the Lord from verse 1 through to 14, that their hands were defiled by blood. They had fingers of iniquity and lips of lies. They had tongues that speak perverse things. There was no justice. They conceived evil in their hearts. There was no righteousness found among them. If you were to look for light, you would see only darkness. Verse 9. They grope around like the blind, stumbling at noonday as a dead man. All this and much more in verses 1 through 14. And these were the iniquities that had separated them from God. We read in verse 1 and 2. Characteristic of that spiritual darkness that had separated Adam and Eve from their God. And even Ephesians 2, beloved, they also were at one time dark, as Paul says. You were once darkness. As Paul has already said in this letter, for example, in chapter 2, that they were dead in trespasses and sins, and they walked according to the world, conducting themselves in their own manner of lusts and of the flesh. And he says that in chapter 4, verse 18, that their own understanding was darkened, having been alienated from the life of God because they were ignorant and blind. But while at one time these Ephesians, Paul says, were darkness, he says that now they are light in the Lord. The imagery of darkness and light draws a strong spiritual contrast. At one time they were disobedient and rebellious, as Paul has previously said in the letter. But now, in verse 9, they are to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and righteousness and truth. Those qualities that Adam and Eve were originally created in, true righteousness and holiness. Israel also were a nation called to righteousness and holiness, to do what is good, to walk in the truth. And when Israel was faithful, they would bear witness of God, and many would come to praise and glorify the Lord. We see examples of that in the Old Testament, how God is glorified because Israel, they walked in righteousness and in holiness and in truth. They were in that way God's light in the world. They were attractive to the world to bring glory and praise to God. And these Ephesians who were once darkness are now light. They are good and right and true. But beloved, what is common between Adam and Eve doing what is good and right and true? What is common between Adam and Eve and Israel and being good and true and righteous and holy? And these Ephesians, what's that link? What's that common denominator, so to speak, from Adam and Eve to Israel to these Ephesians that God can say that they are, as he says here in verse 9, good, righteous and true? How is it that God can say that these Ephesians are now lights? What is common, beloved, is that these are the very attributes of God himself. Righteousness, holiness, truth, goodness. That could be said of Israel, but not because of who Israel were, but because of who God is. Not because Israel are holy and righteous, but because God is holy and righteous and true, and his presence was with them. God saved Israel from Egypt. He led them through the wilderness by the glory cloud and the pillar of fire by night, two symbols of the light of God, the light that led his people through the wilderness to their rest. And whenever they pitched their camp, the glory cloud would come over the tabernacle. And by God's light shining in Israel through the glory cloud and the pillar of fire, Israel would, in a very literal sense, be following the light to their promised land, to their rest. And God shone upon Israel by dwelling among them with his Spirit. But God living with his people and dwelling amongst them, being righteousness and truth and holiness, that was not the final goal of God for Israel. The dwelling of God with his people was so that his light would shine through his people and reveal his glory to the world. The God of righteousness and truth, of holiness, came to dwell amongst his people in the Old Testament so that his people would be righteous and holy and true, so that they would be his lights in the world. They were revelatory agents, the glory of God, of the light of God. Revelatory agents, instruments in the hand of God, his witness, his servant in the world, which we continually read throughout in Isaiah. His witness in the world of the light, of righteousness and goodness and truth. And now also these Ephesians, called to be exactly that, righteous and true and good. But not because of themselves. Once again, because of God. Because God was dwelling with them. We read that in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, what God had done for these Ephesians. In Acts 26 verse 18, when Paul was told by God what he was commissioned to do, he was told he'd be sent to the Gentiles. And in verse 18 of chapter 26 in Acts, we read that he was sent to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, such that now these Ephesians, having heard the gospel and the Spirit working on their hearts, causing them to repent and to believe, God has called them to be his light in the world. Paul came and preached the gospel. He called them out of darkness into his marvelous lights. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. And they were turned from darkness to light, as we read in Colossians 1 verse 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so at every stage of God's history of redemption, brothers and sisters, we see that it is God who is overcoming the darkness. He's overcoming the darkness of Israel's own hearts and their corruption and their sin. He does that by dwelling amongst them in righteousness and truth and in goodness, giving them his word, the ceremonies of the law appointed also to the righteousness of God, that he would give and provide for his people. And he had promised that long ago in Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We also read that in our passage in chapter 59. After Israel's sins are mentioned there in chapter 59, after all that darkness is listed in verses 1 through 14, God says that he will save his people. Verses 16 and 17. And how is he going to do that? How is he going to save his people from the darkness of their own hearts, their sins, their wickedness, the corruption of Israel and of his people? Well, we read there that he will save them by his righteousness. By his righteousness. And God was faithful to keep his promise, beloved, to save his people from their own spiritual darkness, from their own disobedience and rebellion, from the darkness of the kingdom and power of Satan. He promised to do that, and he fulfilled that. He fulfilled those promises for his people. We recently saw that at Easter. John speaks about Jesus as the true light, which gives light to everybody in the world. And they beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that as many as received him in faith, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And to those who believe in his name. Because in him we do not need to fear the darkness. Because Jesus Christ, he overcame it. He became for us righteousness and truth. And he suffered those 3 long hours in that supernatural darkness, beloved, away from the presence of his Father, where he took upon himself the sins of disobedience and rebellion, so that we could be encouraged, brothers and sisters, by his death, to then also walk as those who have been called now to walk in the light, called to do what is good, do what is right, do what is true, and do it with confidence and endurance until Christ returns. Because he has overcome the darkness, beloved. He's overcome the power of the kingdom of Satan. And he also promises to overcome the remaining darkness that you struggle with in your own hearts. And he promises to overcome that through the Spirit who now dwells in you. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul prays that Christ would dwell in the hearts of these Ephesians through faith. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, the promise for you, as we just saw now again, once signified and sealed in baptism, the promise of God's Spirit dwelling in you to overcome the darkness, to overcome remaining sin, and so to also shine once again as his lights in the world, as he had created Adam and Eve to be, as he had called Israel to be out of Egypt, to be his righteousness and his truth and his goodness in the world. And that brings us to our second point, where we are seen to be called to shine as lights. We are a light, beloved, in Christ. He who dwells in our hearts by his Spirit, giving us his righteousness, giving us his word, which is truth, so that we can do what is good and shine as light, and in doing so expose the darkness. Because these Ephesians, now that they are lights rather than darkness, they are to now walk as children of light, and they were to do this by finding what is acceptable to the Lord. We read that in our passage in verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Whenever Israel sought to not do what was acceptable to the Lord, beloved, things went bad for them. Israel sought to glorify themselves by associating with the high and mighty on the earth, like Egypt and Babylon. And the result of that effort was the opposite of what they had perhaps intended or hoped for. They were abased and they were shamed and they were humiliated as a result of their sins. And this reminds us of Adam and Eve in the garden, when they did not do what was acceptable to the Lord. That's when things went wrong. That's when things went bad for them. And when we seek to find out what we think is acceptable, when we want to do what we think is acceptable, or what our friends think are acceptable, or what the world thinks is acceptable, and we run after that, that is when things also go bad for God's children, like it did for Adam and Eve, like it did for Israel. Because that rebellion and disobedience, beloved, is darkness. It leads further into darkness and sin and misery. And so to know what is the acceptable will of the Lord and to walk in that is to walk in the light, to walk in righteousness and truth and goodness. And God wants his children to find what is acceptable to him. And we can do that, beloved. You can do that because he has given you his word. We are no longer in the darkness. We have his word, which is a lamp to guide our feet. And in that word, the life and teaching of Jesus Christ, the light of God. He who is an example for us to walk in the light. And so, brothers and sisters, if you are not finding what is acceptable to the Lord, if you do not know what pleases him, or maybe you don't want to do what is acceptable to him, that could very well mean that you are too conformed to this world and the ways of darkness. As Paul speaks about in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may, by testing, discern what is the will of God, what is acceptable and perfect. And God calls us to know what is acceptable to him, what he approves of and what he disapproves of, so that we can be his lights in the world. Philippians 1, verse 10. And when we do this, brothers and sisters, as God's children, it's a wonderful and beautiful thing. He promises to bless those who do what he says is acceptable. Those who walk in the truth according to his word and do what is good. He will bless that. He has given us his word so that we can know what is acceptable to him. And now with his spirit, his very presence promised to be with his people whom he has called out of darkness. It is now possible. Yes, it is possible now to do what is good, to do what is right, and to walk in the truth. And so then Paul exhorts them once again to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them for what is, it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done in secret. It is true that what is sometimes found amongst God's own people, brothers and sisters, is too shameful to even mention or speak about. Even sins done in secret. It's hard to know exactly what shameful and secret sins Paul is speaking about here in this passage. In these words here. But brothers and sisters, the exhortation is that we do not even have secret sins before God. In the first place, we see that God is light, and he is going to expose also secret sins. He will expose the darkness. Now we see that God does that for his people in the Old Testament. He did that, for example, through the prophets. He sent the prophets to expose the sin of his people, so they would walk in truth and righteousness and do what is good. And we see that God continually throughout history is exposing sin. He did that through the prophets. He did that by himself coming to Adam and Eve in the garden. He sent his only son into the world, the light into the darkness, to expose the sin. And God exposes our own sin. He exposes our own sin through his word and by the power of his spirit. And sometimes we don't like it. But if there is to be any salvation, sin must be exposed. It must be confessed and repented from. And God does this, beloved, because we are children. He's claimed us to be his children. We see in Hebrews 12, verse 5, that we are not to... says there, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And in Proverbs 28, verse 13, whoever conceals his sin will not prosper. Whoever conceals his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And so, brothers and sisters, also secret sins need to be repented from and obtain mercy from God. And if you're caught in sin and you need help, then you need to talk to someone. One of Satan's lies he can pull over the eyes of God's children is that we are walking on our own. or we're doing, or we're suffering under the weight of spiritual darkness, we're suffering under the weight of a sin, or we're tempted to rebel and disobey God in a certain way. And Satan can tempt God's children to believe that they are on their own. But remember, there is no temptation that comes to you which others have not suffered. And God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, but always will provide a way of escape that you may endure it. And that is why he has also given us to each other, the communion of saints, so that together we can also walk in truth and in goodness and in righteousness. And so on the one hand, God exposes sin. He did that in the Old Testament. He continues to do that today through his word and spirit. And he exposes sins in our own hearts because he is righteous. He is true. He does what is good and he teaches us what is good. But we also, as children of the light, beloved, are also called to expose the darkness rather than join in with it, as Paul exhorts these Ephesians to do. Believers also are called to expose the darkness. And that can be a difficult pill to swallow because there are many reasons we can come up with for not exposing sin. Excuses like maybe thinking they'll just grow up one day, or we've all been through that stage, she'll mature soon enough, or something like we were all there once, are not acceptable excuses in the household of God. For believers, for children who are called to be lights. How can such excuses be made for the unfruitful works of darkness? Or maybe you're scared that someone will call you a goody-goody, or fearful of losing a relationship with a loved one, concerned what your friends will think. That is not the way of God's people, beloved. We don't do ourselves any favors as a church if we are not dealing with sin. And that starts with each other. That begins in the pew. Mutual discipline starts with a brother or sister in a loving conversation with the intent of caring and showing kindness and love, looking out for one another. Because we don't want to see ourselves fall into the darkness and the power of the evil one that leads only to misery and sin. And if we feel our own hearts and our own lives being exposed because of sin, then God says we can't ignore that. Don't neglect correction and rebuke. To ignore reproof leads to further hurt and pain and eventual ruin. And God's word speaks all about this, beloved. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. And so if someone rebukes you, listen, consider it, give it thought and pray about it. Talk to someone else about it who knows you and ask them for their opinion. We don't need to share names or gossip, but speaking with one another. But maybe you say, but I don't like my sins to be exposed. I don't like to hear that my sins are exposed. I don't want to give up a particular sin. I don't want to give up a particular sinful habit. I don't want to give up a sinful or a worldly lifestyle. And it can only be said, dear brother and sister, that you love the darkness more than the light. And that is a dangerous place to be. A dangerous place to be. Because the darkness has no fellowship with Christ. And we see that God exposes sin in the Old Testament through his prophets. He did that for their salvation. He exposes our sin so that repenting from those and confessing those, we might then also be his light in the world. And so he exposes sin, and he will expose sin once again. He will come, revealing himself as the judge, And all will have to appear before him. Deeds will be exposed, whether good or evil. All people will have to give an account for everything, even every careless word spoken, Matthew 12. Jesus says this also in Luke chapter 2. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. And in Revelation 2 verse 16, on that day God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart, then each one will receive his commendation from God. And we confess all of this in Article 37 of the Belgian Confession. The day of judgment, where sin will once again be exposed, everything that is hidden will come to the light. Reward and punishment will be handed out. Those who have done evil to eternal darkness, but those who have done what is good and what is right and what is true, not in themselves, beloved, in Christ and in faith, they will enjoy the eternal life and receive the everlasting crown of glory and honor. Now, on the one hand, this can be very fearful and dreadful. Outside and apart of Christ. But on the other hand, for believers and for those who have called to be the children of God, it is a great comfort, beloved. A comfort for those whom he has shone upon with the gospel and to those whom he has called out of the grave and now to rise and shine as his lights in the world. Christ has risen from the dead, and with that he brought with himself all those whom the Father has given to him. And now so, brothers and sisters, in those last words of verse 14, arise from the dead in Christ and walk in his light. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and doing what is good and doing what is right and true. Walk with him because he walks with you by his Spirit. He's come to dwell amongst you. We saw that in the first point with Israel in the Old Testament, he dwelled with them in righteousness and truth. And he came to dwell in this dark world in righteousness and truth and goodness in the person of Jesus Christ. And now he dwells with you. He walks with you by the power of his Spirit, leading you as he led Israel by the lights to the promised land. Leading now you also by his word and his Spirit, his truth, promising never to forsake you, never to leave you, as he also leads and brings you to your rest, to your promised inheritance. And beloved, we have a great comfort to know as believers that the light will never go out. The light of God, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his truth, it will never be extinguished. Because Jesus Christ overcame the darkness. He overcame that through his death. He arose from the grave, from darkness. He could not be held by it because of his righteousness and his truth and his goodness. And so no matter how dark this world becomes, beloved, no matter how great wickedness becomes in this world, no matter how great your struggle against the darkness, against sin, against the evil one, no matter how much oppression the church needs to endure because of Satan who continues to fight against the light, we know that the light will never be extinguished. The righteousness and truth and goodness that God has given to his people, those attributes of God that he originally created Adam and Eve to be, those attributes that he now recreates his people in, and those righteousness and goodness and truth that he is now recreating you in by his word and his Spirit, it would never go out because Jesus Christ has overcome the wickedness, the evil one. And his Spirit will endure to the end of the age, also dwelling with you, living with you, until he comes with his holy angels and all his saints and takes them into heavenly joy and glory to be with him in heaven, in the light, in true righteousness, in truth, and doing what is good. So now do that, beloved, as his children. Walk in the truth. Do what is good and what is right, because he dwells and he lives with you by the power of his Spirit. Amen.